Brunelleschi gazed over his writing desk and across the room of the prosecutor's office to Mr. Van Zeek's. The prosecutor sat at his own rather grandiose furnishings as he analyzed documents with his perpetual severity, occasionally striking through a phrase with a fountain pen. Brock grumbled to himself, and, after reading what was likely a particularly clumsy piece of legal convolution, set down his pen to angrily grasp the edge of his desk. He glowered at the paper, unblinking. Brunelleschi imagined, for a strange, superstitious instant, the document bursting into flames. The Lord was not known for a gentle temperament. He'd witnessed the man's ire before, in the courtroom, but this current animosity was so intense it seemed as if Barak was a deity, superior in force to a mortal. He envisioned Barak directing his current away from the documents and towards himself, a flight of fancy, and not out of the idea that it was in any way likely. Barak was too well-mannered to do such a thing, and ultimately too good-hearted, loath as he was to reveal it. Nonetheless, Brunelleschi was intrigued by the idea. Their sexual encounters so far hadn't been sentimental in any direction, though they'd been satisfying enough, for actions wrought solely from their mutual attraction, lonesomeness, and proximity. He'd had the sense that Brock had restrained himself during their few physical interactions. It was quite British of him to ignore his own impulses, affectionate or otherwise, in such a setting.
"You are staring, my learned friend."
Brunelleschi startled and met Barak's expression, which held a flash of his previous anger, and which struck him with unbidden heat. But, in an instant, the gaze shuttered with social propriety. "I apologize. Are you feeling well?" Barak harumphed.
"I am well enough. Perhaps I would be in better spirits if the defense had a more competent hand."
"I also ask because you seemed like this yesterday, though your ire seems a touch stronger than usual."
Barak hummed. "It is nothing," he said, and looked back down at his paper. "At least, nothing I have not tolerated before."
"You shouldn't hold on to such passions. In my view, it is better when anger is released."
"Then I shall train more extensively in the evenings," Barak growled. "I would not want you to bear any of my burden, that some do not take their occupation as seriously as it deserves."
He spoke more angrily than the sentiment warranted. It seemed this was about more than a few days' worth of difficulties. Brunelleschi looked, again, at his own documents, but could not read them, such was the buzz in his nerves. It was a pleasant feeling, though he felt a little guilty that the energy within him was provoked by another's distress.
"What is it?" asked Barak. "You look rather flushed. Forgive me, I did not mean to make a villain of you."
He hesitated before speaking again.
"Perhaps I shall leave the office early if my anger is so apparent."
"Barak," Brunelleschi said, "would you like me to help?"
"What?"
Barak asked, and then, upon witnessing something in Brunelleschi's countenance, winced and turned away.
"It is not possible."
"No.
If it is true, what I believe you to offer, then I do not think..." He started and sighed. "I do not think I am able to intentionally reach such acrimony, even to oppose it. Not in front of another."
This was understandable enough. It wasn't as though his own country was less restrained in its social proprieties. But it seemed necessary to have a space without such restriction, even inside one's own home, in order to live more fully.
"But would you want to, if you could?" Brunelleschi asked. "It is impossible, and so your question is irrelevant. You underestimate my decorum."
"Perhaps it would help, though," he pressed.
"In ideal circumstances it might," Barak replied. "But first I must solve the impossible problem of my own recalcitrance."
"But even today you seemed to have broken through," Brunelleschi countered. "I don't think I've seen you so angry outside of court."
"I shall never do so again."
"I don't see why you'd think so, if your only plan is to hold in your frustration."
"I will take ideas, then," Barak said, "since you clearly believe that you can help."
Brunelleschi nodded and took the remainder of the workday to ponder the question. How was one supposed to counter years of repressed emotion? What could he say that would allow the Lord to remove the mask he wore? He visited several shops over the next few days. A new European technique, hypnosis, seemed promising. He pulled over a few guides in between his legal documents. In his own room at the Lord's Manor, Rinosuke dropped his voice to a calm murmur and practiced a script or two. After a few such sessions, he felt prepared enough to try. One evening, a few nights later, Barak tapped his arm and glanced toward the window, where the regular carriage waited.
"I was hoping to see you tonight," he said, "aside from our usual meal and pleasantries."
"Oh, good. It's been a little while."
Barak replied. "I apologize. I have been rather out of the mood recently."
"I understand. It must be difficult to fight yourself so often." They entered the carriage and made occasional small talk through the ride to the manor and through their subsequent meal. After the food had settled, Barak gestured to his lamplit bedroom and, when Rinosuke followed him, closed the door behind.
"I had an idea for what we discussed," Rinosuke said before anything progressed further, and while he still had the courage of a full stomach. He laid on the side of the grandiose bed, gazing at the lord as he doffed his coat and accessories.
"I looked into a few, I suppose they're considered psychological techniques?"
Barak looked briefly resigned and gave a small sigh. "I suppose this is as good a time as any. What did you learn from this new science?"
"The idea is to create a state between awake and dreaming, in which you will be more amenable to my suggestions. It's called hypnosis."
Barak's eyes widened.
"It's not as evil as it sounds," Rinosuke continued quickly. "I couldn't make you do anything you didn't already agree to."
"Is that so?"
Rinosuke nodded. "There is an element to it where you have to go along with me."
Barak considered this. "What exactly is this technique supposed to achieve?"
"With any luck, it is supposed to help you overcome your own psychic barriers. Though I should tell you before we begin that I have a more selfish reason to help."
"And that would be?"
Rinosuke said and paused. "I rather want to see you in such a state."
"Vulnerable? You wouldn't be the first."
Rinosuke blushed, caught, and didn't reply.
"Everyone has darkness in their hearts, my learned friend," Barak said and smiled grimly. "I can appreciate that this is yours."
Strangely, the lord seemed less anxious now of relinquishing control. Rinosuke supposed it was a case of knowing the devil. Though there was a tragedy to it that Barak did not trust that Rinosuke would help him purely out of kindness.
"What can I expect?" Barak asked.
"Just follow what I tell you. With any luck on my command, you will find it easy to, ignore social niceties. But again, you have to give me some leeway, especially since I am new to this. In a way, it is a two-person effort."
Barak languidly stretched out on the bed and closed his eyes. "Very well. Start when you will."
Rinosuke battled a breaking wave of embarrassment. There was a good chance that this venture would be nothing more than a mortifying failed experiment. Then again, if he lived solely to prevent making a fool of himself, he'd never accomplish a thing. "The books I've read suggest starting with a guided breathing exercise," he said, and shifted into the calm voice he'd practiced, counting the beats as, together, they breathed inward by the nose, held, and, now, released outward through the mouth. Again. Again. The paced breathing alleviated much of Rinosuke's own anxiety. He felt his heart rate slow, as if he were falling asleep. The efficacy spurred his confidence. Perhaps, if this worked, so too would his commands. If nothing else, at least he'd learned of an easy way to unwind the next time he should struggle with restlessness. In front of him, Barak released the remaining tension in his neck and shoulders. Rinosuke told him to, on the uptake, open his eyes and, on the down, to close them again until they felt heavier and heavier. Surprising to him was that his instructions appeared to work, and that, after several rounds, Barak failed to open his eyes altogether. Excellent. Rinosuke moved on to the next bit, where he described Barak falling deeper and deeper into semi-consciousness. He used the metaphor of a set of stairs, gently sloped downwards, on which the Lord would descend, step by step.
"When I reach zero, you will be as relaxed as you have ever been," he said. "There are 10 steps to the staircase. 10. You feel yourself calm even more. 9. More and more. 8. You know every word I speak is the truth. 7.
As he spoke, Rinosuke felt a little proud of the script he'd written. The guidebook's authors, perhaps overly concerned about legal retribution, had not provided exact details on the wording.
3, he continued. Barak was very still on the bed, perhaps asleep. If he were fully unconscious, the hypnosis wouldn't work, just as if he were too awake. But there was nothing to do but soldier on.
2, almost there. 1, so close. 0, you are fully relaxed and open to my suggestions. When I say the word trance, you will close your eyes and fall, immediately and completely, back into this relaxation, and will find it easy to follow my instruction.
Rinosuke paused for a moment and watched Barak's resting form. He'd have to test this state before proceeding.
"Now sit up and look at me," he said, and watched as Barak did so, meeting him with glassy eyes.
"Trance," Rinosuke commanded.
Instantly, Barak's eyes shut and he collapsed onto the bed. A new giddiness struck Rinosuke. Leading the Lord in such a way was quite fun. He probably shouldn't become used to it.
"Excellent," he muttered. "Now remember that what I say is the truth. You want to feel better. You want to release that which you hold so deeply. But to do so, you know that you must feel these emotions entirely. You must feel without holding back, without disguise. So when I say the word unmask, you will understand that this is a safe place to do so, and will feel your reservations leave you. Again, at the word unmask, you will release the repressed emotion in your heart. In a moment, I will wake you from this trance, but my command will still hold true."
He paused. The transition from relaxation to following instruction was supposedly rather difficult, and many could not do it. But if the hypnosis hadn't worked, at least Barak was considerate enough to play along.
"You see the staircase again, in front of you. It climbs upwards into alertness. But you know that you will still follow my instruction. When you reach the 10th stair, you will be fully awake. 1. Slowly coming into awareness."
By the count of 8, Barak twitched a little on the mattress, and by 10, he was fully alert and sat upright against the headboard.
"What do you think?" Rinosuke asked.
"It's as though I lost the past few minutes. Was I asleep?"
"Not really," Rinosuke said, excited as a dog before a stroll. "Though supposedly it's common for participants not to remember. It shouldn't matter, though. Are you... would you like me to test it out?"
Barak sighed. "I suppose you must, having gone this far. I will be honest in that I still don't believe your commands will work, and that my pride still hopes it does not, so you don't see me so unreserved. If your strange practice is indeed effective, I can only hope that I don't do anything untoward."
"I was hoping you would, actually," Rinosuke muttered, louder than he'd wanted.
"God above, man," Barak replied, and put a hand over his reddening face. "Have some dignity."
"Weren't you interested? I thought as much when you led me to your bedroom."
"I am, though not well uninhibited, but you need not say your own thoughts so directly."
"Perhaps I do, and perhaps you do too." This was as good a time as any to test him, so Rinosuke dropped his voice. Low, resonant, powerful. "If only you'd learn to unmask."
Barak shuddered, his body responding to the command before his thoughts. He closed his eyes. When he opened them, his gaze held a strange, mad glint.
"What have you done?" he muttered.
I allowed you to feel without inhibition. What's it like?"
"I feel everything," Barak exhaled. "I feel everything."
He trembled as he gripped the bed covers.
"Then we'll narrow this down to be more useful," Rinosuke replied. He felt guilty for creating such a broad initial command. Feeling so many conflicting emotions at once must be torture. so he put on his mesmeric voice and said, "Limit your unreserved emotion to anger. Perhaps we will get to the others in time." Barak let out a gasp and regained himself. The cold fury in his eyes from a few days prior returned, though Rinosuke couldn't observe the expression for long. After a short moment, Barak released the bedcovers and stood to cross the room, where he procured a large empty wine bottle and smashed it against a wall. Rinosuke jolted a little where he still sat on the bed. "Careful, the glass could be dangerous."
"Then what would you have me do, my learned friend?" Barak growled. Rage wafted from him like steam.
"Speak," Rinosuke replied. "What are you angry about?"
"What am I angry about?"
"Yes, I can't read your mind."
"I," Barak muttered, strangely quiet. "You don't know how difficult it is, do you, to lose a brother?"
Rinosuke shook his head, though part of him wanted to reply that, of recently, he could understand. Not precisely a brother, but Kazuma had, well, he'd given him his soul.
Barak paced the room. "Clint was only as old as I am now when he died," he said, voice increasing in volume and aggression. "A full life to live, cut short, and yet all I can think of with my own putrid selfishness is how many years since then I've rotted in my own office."
Brunosky decided against replying. Barak wasn't looking at him anyway. His pacing led him to one of the windows, where he gripped the sill, tension straining his wrists as he stared into the darkness of London.
"He wouldn't have wanted me to be so unhappy," Barak continued after a moment. "I disrespect him by refusing to live to the fullest. And yet, in my grief, I have been unable to do so."
"It's understandable, though, for you to be so affected," Rinosuke said, and startled when Barak turned, quick as an arrow, to meet him. After a few strides, Barak put his hands on Rinosuke's shoulders, gripping hard but not enough to hurt. He leaned forwards, so close that Rinosuke could see the glower-etched wrinkles between the other's eyes and the torment raging within.
"It is a weakness."
Rinosuke wished that he felt only sorrow for the man, that he could take the role of the same compassionate apprentice that he'd been for the past few months. But between the proximity and the rawness in Barak's eyes, his nerves were alight. If only the Lord would push further, harder, release his torment.
"I do not want to hurt you," Barak said.
Seems he'd spoken to himself.
"Then don't," Rinosuke replied, even-voiced.
"But you should do something while you're uninhibited. Perhaps just not involving broken glass." Barak took his hands from Rinosuke and retreated a step. Even through his ire, he seemed conflicted.
"Do whatever comes naturally," Rinosuke said. "I trust you."
Barak released what he could only describe as a roar, the sound reverberating through the room's cabinets and windows and lasting several seconds. The exertion of it sent the Lord to his knees in the center of his room. He was shaking and held his head in his hands.
"Oh," Rinosuke said after a while, for lack of a better comment. Barak was weeping from the soft sounds he failed to cover.
Do you feel better?"
"It will take more than this to displace my anger," Barak said after he'd finished with his tears. "Self-loathing is not something I will ever fully overcome. Though, in honesty, that was rather satisfying."
"I might have, oversold the merits of this hypnosis practice."
"You oversold nothing. I can certainly feel its effects. I only say that it will take more attempts, and with more professional counseling. I struggle to put what I feel into words."
"Fair," Rinosuke replied.
"So, with that, might I deign you to release your hold? I have felt enough for one evening."
Yes, Rinosuke said, and in his command voice. "I release my hold on you, so you may hide or cover your feelings as you wish."
"Thank you."
Barak stood and returned to the bed, where he exhaled softly.
"Shall I leave you for the night?"
The Lord shook his head.
"If you wouldn't mind, I'd like the company."
So Rinosuke stayed with him for the rest of the evening, enjoying his warmth. He was still rather riled up from earlier, from what he supposed was a combination of his newfound power to command, and from an eroticized fear response, but the feeling was not strong enough to bar him from sleep.
A few days later, Barak again invited Brynosuke to dinner.
"I want to thank you for the other night," he said over the last of his bowl of stew. "If I may be so honest, it intrudes frequently on my thoughts that you did not achieve your desires."
Brynosuke looked up from his own empty bowl and fought the instinct to recoil. Barak stared at him with an expression as piercing as those he wielded in court. "I see," he replied, blushing. "It's fine, though. I enjoyed helping you."
"You don't follow."
"No?"
"I am offering."
Ryunosuke felt his face heat, and he sputtered on his glass of water. "Surely not, well, To his surprise, Barak nodded.
"I am interested in trying both at once this time, though in a different manner than earlier."
Ryunosuke felt sweat dampen the small of his back. "I would enjoy that, yes," he muttered.
"So speak again, friend," Barak continued and stood, looming over the opposite end of the dining table. "Turn me loose, and you will find out what else British gentlemen hide from polite society."
Ryunosuke nodded. He wasn't sure if anything would come of another attempt without another effort at an induction or a trance state. But it was worth trying anyway, so he put on his command voice and stated, "Very well. Trance. For the rest of the evening, you will now find it easy to break any social mores that you wish." Barak stilled and, after a moment, his demeanor changed, opened. An odd intent came to his expression and movement. A powerful, animal confidence. The lord looked at his evening gloves, briefly and with disdain, before he pulled them off, along with his coat, and strode around the table. Before Ryunosuke could think to stand, Barak grabbed him by the arms, hauled him to his feet, and shoved him to the side. Ryunosuke gasped, and could barely think past his surprise before Barak had their mouths together, his movements brusque and possessive. They hadn't kissed before, even in their sexual encounters. It would have broken their established dynamic. Too romantic, too intimate. But there was nothing romantic about the feral manner in which the lord pressed his tongue further into Rinosuke's mouth, swallowing his breath and refusing to allow a response. He grabbed Rinosuke's sides and pinned him against a nearby wall.
"Ah!"
Rinosuke gasped when Barak finally allowed him a chance to breathe. He scrambled to put his thoughts together as tides of lust winded through him where they touched.
"This is... fast."
"I disagree," Barak breathed. "Our usual pace is too sedate."
He punctuated the statement by thrusting his groin forwards and steadily dragging their clothed directions together. The stimulation broke Rinosuke's attention for a moment. Unbidden, his gaze fluttered upwards. Barak reached down and disrobed them both, then returned to grinding. Eventually, he frustrated of the position and moved Rinosuke himself, pushing and pulling him to rub his thighs and penis against his own shaft, taking his own pleasure as if the other man were a toy. And yet, it was Ryunosuke who came to completion first. Some combination of the friction and Barak's roughness blanked his mind and flared his body with heat. He reached his peak with a whine.
"Stay with me," Barak muttered, his tone so surprisingly gentle that Ryunosuke opened his eyes and saw the lord's own gaze flickering through his thrusts.
Barak shut his eyes after a moment, his breath hitching. Ryunosuke was too sated to find the continued thrusting comfortable, so he reached down, grasped Barak's length, and pumped it vigorously. Barak rewarded his efforts with a strained groan and returned his hands to Ryunosuke's sides. His breaths became more erratic, and he climaxed soon after. Ryunosuke remained pressed against him for a short while. Stickiness aside, he liked the moment's strange sensuality, the lord's sweat-dampened dress shirt, his scent, his warmth. Barak parted their embrace and cleaned them both with unused napkins from the dining room table. Ryunosuke started to put his pants on, but the lord knocked his arm away and gestured to the master bedroom.
"Don't bother with your garments," he said.
"You are insatiable," Ryunosuke replied, awed. Barak chuckled.
"If you only knew, my friend."
Ryunosuke, in a sudden fit of boldness, said, "Then show me. What else are you hiding?" Barak picked him up and whisked him inside his lamplit bedroom before laying him on the duvet. The surprising, exhilarating weightlessness of the movement stole the air from Rinosuke's lungs. Brock didn't give him a chance to regain himself and immediately caged him against the bed. He leaned down and again moved his mouth against Rinosuke's, a kiss with the intensity of a skilled lover. When they broke apart, it was on Brock's terms. He set the pace. It was all Rinosuke could do to gasp when he was allowed. Breath, with its stutters and starts, was intrinsically linked with arousal. Rinosuke felt rather reinvigorated by the time Brock was done. He opened his eyes to see that the Lord had pulled away and gazed at him, wearing a soft smile. The expression caught Rinosuke off guard, more so than either Barak's anger or his animal lust. Further surprising was when he changed positions to lay on his side and stroke Rinosuke's cheek. "I enjoy watching you like this," he said. "The faces and sounds you make, you're quite expressive." "I suppose. Forgive my curiosity, but I must ask a rather personal question," Barak said. Rinosuke nodded. "Have you ever been in love?" Rinosuke stared at him, puzzled, more for the reasons why Barak would ask him such a thing than for his answer. Love as a concept had been distant from their relationship. The main interactions had been practical, as prosecutor and apprentice, and sexual, wherein lust was far more of a catalyst. They were friends, too, but Rinosuke had figured that was more from proximity than affection. Not that he disliked Brock, it was more that the Lord had been closed off, and so Rinosuke had decided, early after meeting him, to allow him solitude. Though from this evening it might have been that the man's reservations were a disguise, and his current sentimentality was his true heart. Brock was still waiting on his answer, so Rinosuke nodded. "I have, though he and I have since, parted ways."
"I see.
Have you?" Brock leaned back, his tender expression just visible in the lamplight.
"I believe so, yes."
"You sound unsure."
"I have never been more certain."
There was a glimmer in Barak's eyes, and Rinosuke's heart skipped a beat before he moved next to him on the headboard. Perhaps he'd been too cold in their previous encounters, Rinosuke thought, if this was how the Lord felt. He wasn't sure if he felt the same, though. Kazuma's death had been a wound, bleeding his spirit since before he'd landed in England. He hadn't yet had the strength to share whatever remained.
"You need not reply," Brock said. "I speak only for my own heart."
"I don't know, really. There's something there, at least." Rinosuke, now that he was thinking of it, had felt the warmth of companionship whenever he'd shared Barak's presence. The feeling had only strengthened over the weeks until he found his nights wishing that he could move only a few rooms down and feel the other's skin against his. Until now, he'd regarded the warmth as a product of his lonesomeness, some displacement of the affection he'd felt for Kazuma. Though perhaps it was earnest in its own right, and mere coincidence that the timing came so shortly after losing the man he'd loved. He'd have to dwell on the matter further when grief wasn't so much of him.
"I understand," Brock muttered.
"With more time, I suspect I will feel the same way. Until then, I remain happy to be in your company," Rinosuke said and reached for his hand. Brock accepted the gesture and, in a moment so brief Rinosuke might have missed it, raised their entwined fingers and kissed the top of Rinosuke's hand.
"So be it," he said.
They lay together for a while until Rinosuke's nerves calmed. He might have dozed off had Brock not cleared his throat and released his tender grip.
"Rinosuke," he muttered.
"I'm awake."
"If you'd rather sleep, I understand, although we were in the midst..."
Brock trailed off, a strange sound from someone so confident.
"I suppose I had changed the mood."
"That's all right," Rinosuke replied and stirred again. He liked this sweet side of Brock. It helped that he hadn't been treated this tenderly since his departure. Every graze of the other's hand, now exploring his upper arms, healed the blood beneath.
My friend, Barak said wistfully, "I find myself yearning to touch you."
"You have been," Rinosuke replied, confused. "And you are." Barak shook his head.
"I have touched you as a body. I mean to cherish you as a lover. But since you do not feel the same, I would understand if you refused."
It was endearing that Barak would make such a distinction. The Lord had already penetrated him, and more than once. Apparently, he was shyer about caressing him. Was it because they were both men?
An interesting question, Barak said, sounding amused. I suppose I could read more of Plato's works, or those of a saint, and gain some perspective.
It took Rinosuke a moment to realize that he'd asked the question aloud, and blushed. But a little embarrassment would make no difference to his reply.
I'm not refusing, he said. Cherish me how you like.
Barak smiled, then, and turned to meet Rinosuke in a kiss. Unlike the others they'd shared that evening, this one was a true meeting of equals, a give-and-take of earnest passion and cautious curiosity. Without breaking contact, Barak reached around to cradle the back of Rinosuke's head and stroke his hair. The resulting sensual pleasure turned Rinosuke's heart to wax and pulled a groan from his throat.
"What a beautiful sound," Barak whispered against his lips. "I wonder..."
He let himself downwards and put his mouth on Rinosuke's neck, suckling the skin. He murmured as he went along, little words of endearment that only heightened Rinosuke's arousal. Sweet, precious, beloved. Barak found a spot and nibbled, which, by some miracle of physiology, provoked a powerful shock from his core. Rinosuke gasped, unable to do anything but surrender to bliss.
"Exquisite," the Lord said, voice low and rough. "You're everything, I imagined."
"Ah," Rinosuke replied dumbly. He felt very warm. "You..."
"Hold your thought," Barak interrupted and put a finger over Rinosuke's lips. "I want to treat you. Make no effort to reply in kind."
It sounded rather nice to not have to worry about speaking, Rinosuke thought, and nodded. He could return the compliments another time. Barak moved down to his chest and continued his attentions. Briefly, Rinosuke felt a twinge of strangeness. This was how a man loved a woman, was it not? Until the Lord closed his mouth around nipple and laved it with his tongue. Rinosuke cried out something incoherent and, outside of his will, spasmed and strained upwards, nearly sitting upright, were it not for Barak's strong hands on his shoulders maintaining his position on the bed.
"Sensitive, I see. Let's not end this too soon," Barak said and pulled himself away.
"Get back there," Rinosuke muttered. The Lord chuckled.
"Is that how you wanted to finish? You have several options, you know."
"I'm having trouble, deciding."
Really, he was having trouble thinking at all. "Then I might make a suggestion," Barak said. He was breathing rather heavily, considering he hadn't been touched. "You over me, if you'd like."
Passing the statement sobered Rinosuke a little. When he managed it, he opened his eyes wide and stared at Barak. "You want to, receive?"
Barak nodded. "Is that so surprising? Many are satisfied in either position."
"It's just that we've never done it that way before. I never have at all." It was also that the image of Barak over him was very clear in his mind from their previous efforts, and from the general assumption that larger men tended towards that position. But he took a moment to consider the reverse of this powerful, earnest, lovesick man at his mercy. The immediate rush he felt answered the question for him. He swallowed thickly and nodded.
"It will come to you, I'm sure," Barak hummed. "Allow me a moment."
He left to rummage for a vial of lubricant before leaving it on the nightstand and resettling on the bed. Rinosuke straddled him and appreciated, for a moment, the rare perspective of looking down on Barak. He was so tall.
"How, why?" he asked. When Barak had mounted him like this, it had been in the context of rather aggressive lusts, and neither the moment's sentimentality nor his own personality seemed suited for such a pivot.
"Ah," Barak muttered. From this close, Rinosuke saw how his steely eyes darkened.
"I would see the rapture in your eyes, to feel you take what you will."
A new jolt hit Rinosuke then, and the confidence waning in him returned.
"I see," he replied. "That's sweet of you."
He leaned forwards to kiss Barak again. Deep, sensual. It was him, now, in control, and he used his lips and tongue to prove it, delighting in the little groans he provoked.
Their chests were touching. Rinosuke could feel the other's heartbeat increase as he continued his motions, and the dampness of sweat where they joined. After a moment, Barak raised a hand to Rinosuke's chest to stop him, and looked towards the nightstand. Rinosuke nodded and sat upright to anoint his fingers with a lubricant, and returned to awaiting Barak, who gazed at him lustfully.
"I'm going to start now."
"Good," the lord replied, and then shivered as Rinosuke pressed a finger into him.
"Are you all right?"
"I will adjust in a moment," Barak said. "Do continue." Rinosuke did, and heard the change in Barak's breathing and the whines he released when he found sensitive spots. It was hard to miss. The man was quite loud and made no effort to stifle any sounds. It struck Rinosuke that Barak might not be able to. Such an act would fall under self-consciousness and thus, from his earlier command, still be denied. He grinned, taken in by a devilish impulse, and added another finger. In a little while, he found the spot again. Barak writhed beneath him and groaned fitfully.
"Ryu," he started, his words interrupted by a hitched breath.
Rinosuke was struck by the sound's odd beauty, how the man beneath him could not even speak through his pleasure. If he were more inclined to the arts, perhaps he would write a poem of it.
"Please," Barak continued, "I would have you reach your heights first."
Rinosuke nodded and replaced his fingers to ease himself in, but he must have moved a little fast, since Barak trembled against the covers and let out an emphatic groan. He understood the impulse completely and echoed the sound. Barak, so warm and tight around him, was as close to paradise as he'd ever reached.
"Keep going," Barak said.
Rinosuke lost himself to instinct. He chased pleasure with thrust after thrust, and heard the gratified moans and gasps of the man before him, but could not pay them any mind. Nor did he see the awe on Barak's face, as he could focus only on a middle distance. Perhaps he was under a similar spell to the one he'd invoked, though entranced not by the directives of another, but by overwhelming bliss.
"Find your rhythm," Barak continued. "That's
Rinosuke kept thrusting. After a few more, the heat building in his core turned to an inferno, and he spent himself inside the other. Heat blazed under his skin, the climax pulsing its way through him. He returned to awareness after a moment. His skin still felt warm and sweaty. Wet, even. "Oh, that explained it. Seems the lord had finished after all. How convenient." Barak laughed, a sound of more air than voice.
"I won't disagree, but you say the strangest things."
"I've been told as much," Rinosuke replied, and watched idly as Barak lifted himself to clean them both and snuffed the room's lamps before returning to Rinosuke's side.
"If you consider sleeping in your own bed tonight," he murmured, "I shall be forced to rend it to tatters."
I hadn't.
"Good." Barak turned over. "We will talk of this tomorrow. For now, I bid you pleasant dreams."
"Yours as well," Rinosuke replied. On another night, when he was less exerted, he might have dwelled on how he viewed Barak, and on where their relationship might go. But this time, his body decided for him. The moment Rinosuke moved to a comfortable position, sleep overtook him, promising all that dreams could carry.